This is the AgriTalk podcast brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
The trading floor is closed. It's time to cut through the chatter and find the clarity. From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk After the Bell. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
So, did you survive it? Okay, maybe the question shouldn't be, did you survive it? I mean, that's only thinking about what you ate yesterday. Maybe I should be asking, do you think you can survive all the leftovers, right? I mean, how many ways can you do leftover turkey? I guess we're going to find out. Hey, welcome to this Day After Thanksgiving edition of AgriTalk After the Bell. I'm your host, Chip Flory. I'm looking around. I'm not even sure what happened to Davis today. He's probably in his bunker someplace trying to get rid of a big case of the lazies after yesterday's feast. All right, guys, the markets were open for a while today, but I want to get into something that we've talked about it before, but it is very important. I had a chance recently to speak with USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Bill Northey. He is very involved in making sure that the Market Facilitation Program, or MFP, that those payments are distributed as intended. I thought Secretary Northey did a great job of updating us in the conversation. Let's go ahead and give that a listen. Market Facilitation Program. It's a program that came about because of the tariffs that the Trump administration is dealing with. Steel and aluminum tariffs on imports coming into the country and retaliatory tariffs against U.S. soybeans and other ag products, pork in particular, because that's where one of the bigger MFP program payments is. What's the status? It sounds like sign-up is going well.
It is. We do have a lot of producers that are waiting until harvest is done to be able to come in because, you know, signing up early isn't necessary. You sign up when you have your full production. You come into the office once and you're able to both sign up, give your production numbers, and then don't have to come back in on that. And we're seeing harvest finish across certainly some of our big commodity crops now. So that increases the traffic at our offices. But it's going well. I continue to hear it's a fairly quick sign-up process. We don't want shoeboxes full of production records. We just want your production numbers. Tell us what those are. Make sure that you're as close as you can be, because we may be spot checking. But if you're sure about what those production numbers are, those go into a formula. We can typically cut that check within a couple weeks. Sometimes much shorter than that. So we're seeing those checks go out pretty quickly as well.
Yeah, the turnaround time on it seems to be pretty good. Okay, the sign-up period so far has been for round one of MFP on 2018 production. That round two, what's the status there?
So our expectation is that we'll have the modeling done, that round two payment rates will be announced early December. So we're not a long ways away from that. We can look and we can see our conditions are fairly similar to what they were in early September as far as tariffs and likely the impact. But we'll run those numbers again. So there's no guarantee that round one number will be that round two number. But you can see that conditions are similar. So we're definitely looking at, in most cases, a payment for the second half of the production. A producer does not need to come back in again because they gave us that production number. We'll just need to put that new number into the formula.
Yeah, and Secretary Northey, it's just so unfortunate for some of the producers out there that started to rain Labor Day weekend, rained until the second week of October. They left bean bushels out there in the field, and they're saying, you know, I wish I could take the yield that I had on September 1 and turn that in. Why can't I get paid on some of my losses, too?
Yeah, it's been a challenge. Part of the way we wanted to implement, the way that we were allowed to implement this, is that it needed to address the bushels that were exposed to trade. If you didn't harvest those bushels, whether it's because of drought, that production didn't happen, or because of harvest problems, where those bushels didn't come in, if you weren't able to harvest those bushels, they did not get impacted by the tariffs. And so we needed this to be about that production. That left some folks that were suffering because of lost production, so they didn't have bushels to sell, also not be able to get this market facilitation programs. It's hard to make this work in all situations, and we know that folks are gaining a second loss in because of that as well. Hopefully their crop insurance, their other risk management tools filled in some of those losses. We know those are never used to make a producer whole, just like this.
Right.
It's not
going
to make all producers whole, just to soften some of that blow that tariffs caused.
You mean you don't think that penny on corn is going to make producers?
I think it probably won't help everybody like it needs to. Hopefully, hopefully. What this is about is we'd love to be able to see trade with China grow, not just get back to normal with soybeans, but actually get some poultry products into China, actually be able to get some corn into China, actually be able to get more beef into China. And if we can get China to the table to address those issues, we can get soybeans going back the way they need to, and pork going back the way that it needs to, and dairy going back as well. So we can address the current tariff impacts, but we need to address the general trade problems we've had with China, where they've been a little, they've restricted some movement of some products for a long time, not just with these
tariffs. Absolutely. They've been bad actors for a while, and we're taking measures trying to correct some of those problems that we're having with China. I need to stay on MFP for a second because I'm making plans for 2019. Do I factor an MFP payment into my plans for 2019?
I think you should factor, hopefully, back to a full trading environment and no need for MFP for 2019. We have no plans for MFP for 2019. We expect back to a full trade situation. One of the reasons there was a need for that this time is because we went into spring planting with the expectation we were going to able to market soybeans and our other crops to China the way we were in the previous years, and tariffs happened during the growing season.
Right.
Going into next year, we expect to be able to be at full non-tariff situation going into that year, but even if we didn't have that, we'd have a spring expectation that they're you know, we would know, and not a change during that crop production year that we were not able to predict going into this year's planting. So no reason to factor that in for 2019.
So there you have it. Don't be thinking you're going to get an MFP payment on 2019 bushels. You just heard it from Undersecretary Northey. It's probably not going to happen. Could things change? Of course they could change, but I wouldn't count on it in this case. Basically, the impact of tariffs on bean prices came after you made your planning decisions for 2018. So it was a surprise. You had no way of knowing with certainty that it would happen. And with the tariffs already in place, you should be well aware of the trade conflict, and that needs to be part of your decision making when you figure out your final acreage mix for the year ahead. It doesn't matter if you think the trade issues will be solved and China will come running back to the U.S. and buy more beans, or if you think the trade issues are going to linger deep into 2019. You know what everybody knows. Make your production decisions and be prepared to live with that decision in the year ahead without an MFP payment on 2019 bushels. All right, we are off and running. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with CHS Senior Market Analyst Brent Beadle. That's next, right here on ATB.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Top Third Ag Marketing puts the farmer first with a marketing plan that manages risk in every market condition. We protect the downside, and we're more than just about puts. We'll use a strategy based on the current market conditions and your circumstances. Make your plan today. Let Top Third help.
Top Third Ag Marketing, farmer first with a plan for every market. Call us at 877-TT-HEDGE today. That's 877-TT-HEDGE. Futures trading involves the substantial risk of loss.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Have you entered the Ag Explore Truck Sweepstakes? You could win a Ford F-150 Raptor. And since only farmers are eligible, the odds are in your favor. Visit TruckSweeps.com and enter by December 26. 8 semifinalists will win valuable prizes. And one lucky farmer will take delivery of a 2019 Ford Raptor. Enter the Ag Explore Truck Sweepstakes and see complete rules at TruckSweeps.com. No purchase necessary.
This holiday season, Syngenta is partnering with North Carolina-based hunger relief group Rise Against Hunger to help feed those in need. The hashtag Rooted in Ag holiday campaign asks folks to generate a holiday photo frame at SyngentaThrive.com and share it with the hashtag YouShareWeGive. For each share, they will donate $5 to Rise Against Hunger, up to $10,000. We're joined now by Rise Against Hunger Global Impact Director, Amy Bruins. Amy, tell us a little about Rise Against Hunger's mission.
So our mission is to end hunger by 2030 in alignment with the Sustainable Development Goals promulgated by the UN. And we're also focusing on assisting the world's most vulnerable. And so with that, we have three major portfolios that we use to provide an impact in our mission to end hunger. And those are our Nourishing Lives program, which is equivalent to meal distribution, as well as an emergency response program and an empowering communities program, which is the equivalent of sustainable development, namely in the fields of agriculture and livelihoods. We have 28 locations across the U.S., and we have 5 international locations. And in those locations, we facilitate the packaging of meals that have been fortified to include rice, dried veggies, soy, and micronutrients, so they're very healthy. And we've historically distributed to 74 countries globally.
Thanks, Amy. The campaign runs through December 15th. You can find more information over at www.syngentathrive.com. and riseagainsthunger.org.
Maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season with Prosaro fungicide from Bayer.
And welcome back to ATB, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. The day of the report, the November crop production and supply and demand report, I had an opportunity to sit down and have a chat with Kent Beadle, the director of CHS Hedging. And Kent, welcome to ATB. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Chip. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Good. The U.S. numbers, the domestic numbers, there were, we pulled the national average corn yield down. We pulled the national average bean yield down. But it sounds like the big story, Kent, was on the global corn numbers.
Yeah, they made a really huge change based on a census report that was released in China. And that census report suggests that production in China in corn over the last 3 or 4 years was dramatically understated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 20, 30 million tons a year of additional production in China, plus a revision of ending stocks going into that period. Essentially what we did is we added a very large number to the world balance sheet, essentially almost doubling world corn ending stocks from what we believed it to be just last month. And really throughout the whole summer, we've had a very, very tight world stocks to use. And now that's going to look a lot different.
You know, one thing about a kernel of corn in China, though, once it gets in there, it's not coming back out, right?
It's been very long time since the Chinese were actually active in the export market. And if you look at what the Chinese have been doing, they have been buying world sorghum. They have been buying world barley. They have been buying many, many things. Obviously, on the protein side, they're buying fish meal and canola meal and cottonseed meal and all these other things. It doesn't look like they have an excess of supply of any of these things.
Right.
And in fact, if you look at Chinese corn prices, that certainly paints a different picture than the one that is being painted by these additional supplies of corn that are in China on this report. Yeah.
Okay, so I got to ask. I mean, does it really honestly change anything in the total global supply of corn?
It's in China, and it's locked in China, and all we have to verify is that this is what they say they have.
Yeah.
And that's no different than it has been for a long, long time. Yeah. So ultimately, you have to worry about what does price do. And essentially, the world import needs are being met by the United States and by Brazil and Argentina, and very much so by the United States under the current environment, and we don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of talk, and even some people have requested it, that USDA issued two different sets of global balance sheets, one with China, one without China in there. All of a sudden, it starts to make a little bit of sense to me that we do that.
Yeah, well, one of the first things I'll do when I start working on my commentary for growers this upcoming week is to do exactly that on my own, just to show people that, this looks really bad, but you know what? The truth is it isn't probably as bad as people think.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you look at the global supply of corn and you look at global production of corn and the demand growth that we're seeing.
Oh, huge.
It feels like corn's got I'm not going to call it a bullish story, Camp, but it's a positive story to tell, isn't it?
I believe it is. We've been saying that for a long time. We felt that. Obviously, the one thing in addition to this Chinese story on corn is, you know, our soybean supply and that marketplace, you know, that bean market that we need in China, and the fact that with ending stocks in the 950 million bushel range based on the report, you know, you have to ask yourself, what are we going to plant next year? How many acres of corn is that going to be? And that's the big dampening on our marketplace that would otherwise be very positive with these other demand stories and world stocks to use ex-China.
Yeah, ex-China. Yeah, that's exactly right. And talking about 2019 and trying to figure out what we're going to do for next year, that 950 whatever carryover on soybeans, it's got to be having a... I mean, that if I was a corn soybean producer, I'd be looking at that overall supply of soybeans in the United States and saying, that ain't the way to go.
No. You're going to get more wheat. You'll get more corn. With the demand growth that we have in corn, we can accept a few more corn acres. 92 million acres doesn't scare me at all. 93 is, you know, might be that sort of break stiff area on the balance sheet. You know, if we get up into the 95, 96, 97, like we were, you know, trying to plant here back, you know, the last time that we had corn much more expensive than here, you'd start to get worried. But the truth is that the math for corn production at this price is not very good, and it would not suggest we would have those kind of acres. Frankly, it might suggest that some of the fringe acres out on the edge of the corn belts, you know, just might end up going to grass or to other things and being left out of the production mix. And that trend has been going on here for a few years.
It's starting to pick up a little bit of momentum. You mentioned the swing area up there in the northern plains, the Dakotas. I mean, the way that they basically lost their cash market with no bid out of the PNW for those rail beans.
Yeah.
That has got to force some bean acres down up there.
Oh, I believe that will be true. And of course, the flip side of that, especially here in the Western Corn Belt, is that corn basis is significantly better. And so as you're evaluating these changes, You know, you talk about corn up in north central North Dakota. Well, these guys up here are getting bids out of Canada that are really quite good. And our West Coast corn shippers in western Minnesota and in South Dakota going west, those basis bids are 30 cents better than they were at harvest last year. So it's allowed for a major shift in the way people are handling this year's crop. Right. That bin space that you have out back is being dedicated to soybeans. You know, we're telling our growers to, you know, take those hedge to arrives, roll them ahead, take our futures, roll them ahead, make some additional sales against the carry, maybe sell some calls against the carry to hedge these beans. And then let's go sell some corn. Let's generate some cash flow. Let's free up those bins. Let's sell some corn at that better basis. And if we feel like we want to re-own the board or option spreads or those types of things, it makes some sense.
Yeah, every strategy that you mentioned on soybeans there,
yes,
all of them leave basis open. You want to give basis an opportunity to return to anywhere close to normal.
Yes, and out here in the Western Belt, as we were going into harvest, we had basis levels between 140 and 170 under.
Yeah.
Well, those 140, 150 unders are already 115 under.
Right.
You know, it's happening. It's moving in the right direction. And at 115 under, it's only about 20 cents worse than where it was last year at harvest.
Yeah.
Okay? But there will be a return to that space. And,
When you talk with a grower out there about the carry structure in the market.
Yes.
And they all say, well, I'm going to put corn in the bin and capture that carry. They need to take one more step, don't they?
They need to sell the carry.
Yeah.
That's correct. They need to sell the carry. You know, and we set our objectives for that. And in a lot of cases, we've already made that sale against the December and made that roll at 26 or 7 cents and done what we needed to do. But, yes, the marketplace, if you want to lock in a carry, you have to go out and sell that number because there is no guarantee that the cash market will actually earn it for you.
Right, right. When you look at the structure of the corn market, the soybean market, that carry market, you just have to wonder where that front month contract is going to be tethered to.
Right.
You know, and does the Jan go off at the same place that the Nov did? Does the March go off at the same place that the Jan? So on and so forth.
Right.
And if the performance of the past couple of years in corn and soybeans is any indication, you better get ready for that to happen.
You would expect that to happen. That is correct. Now, we expect a little more volatility in corn.
Good.
Because of the balance sheet ex-China, as we've talked. Yeah. I'm more concerned about, you know, if you had beans in the bin, making sure that you sell some of that carry. What is interesting is that we're having the November bean contract in delivery going off between $860, $870 a bushel. And that's, you know, to be frank, that's probably a dollar a bushel higher than many analysts would have anticipated. If we actually tether the bean market into that area, let's just call it $8.50 to $9.
Yep.
That's almost a win for the American farmer.
It's almost a win. Yeah. That's right. Kent, this has been enjoyable. Thank you, man.
Well, thank you, Chip.
All right.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Good stuff. That is Kent Beadle, Director of Hedging for CHS.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quality and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
It's time for ATB's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught is out of the office, so I get to pick the market move that really matters. And let's talk interest rates. Now, many will argue there's no need to look at a daily chart of interest rates to know where rates are going next. The Federal Reserve Board of Governors has telegraphed interest rate increases this year and has already provided plenty of evidence that it intends to send interest rates about a full point higher in 2019. Others argue the Fed can do what it wants to do with the Fed funds rate, but the marketplace will continue to set real interest rates. With that in mind, the 10-year Treasury note ran into overhead resistance at about 3.2% before setting back slightly to the 3.1% level earlier this month. While interest rate futures posted a choppy pattern in 2018, there is still an underlying uptrend that's clearly visible in the markets, pointing rates higher for the year ahead. ProFarmer members, get your daily advice updates at ProFarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Input Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Input Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
You know how to grow a great crop. We're here to help you grow profit. Now, back to AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory, and we're going to take a look at what appears to me to be a disruptor in another segment of agriculture. And when I say a disruptor, I mean that in a very positive way, changing up the way that things have been done over a long period of time. There's never anything wrong with taking a fresh look. And the people at Farm Op Capital are doing just that. We've got Farm Op CEO with Bill York with us. Bill, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good. Farm Op Capital, Bill. What makes Farm Op Capital different from traditional sources of financing?
We're focusing on operating loans, on traditional row crops, and our focus is on the operator, his ability or her ability to produce a crop, the value of the crop, and their efficiency in producing the crop, and we think that's the most important credit component. So we look exclusively at that ability to produce a crop. We're not looking at their broader balance sheet and anything beyond that. We're looking at setting up a loan that meets their needs, gives them the freedom and flexibility to effectively run their operation, and brings a new new fresh look to lending in this segment, and brings new players to the marketplace.
Is it safe? Is it fair to say that the collateral on these loans, Bill, are the crop that's in the field?
Yes, we're looking at the crop itself and the crop insurance as the collateral for these loans, and obviously looking very closely at, you know, the history of the farmer and their ability to produce the crop. So that's the, you know, the key credit drivers for us.
Yeah, Bill, you're the CEO there at FarmUp. It's a familiar name. Where were you before you came to FarmUp?
Yeah, I've spent 40 years in ag lending. Yeah. I actually grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin, but I retired from Agribank. 10 years as CEO of Agribank, which is the largest farm credit bank in St. Paul, Minnesota. We had about $100 billion in assets. And prior to that, I worked for Case Credit, CNH, and I ran global operations for CNH Capital prior to taking the CEO position at Agribank.
Gotcha. Who else is involved in FarmUp right now? Who are the principals?
Yeah, our CFO, another founding partner, is Kier Rennick, who is grew up in Texas. His family was involved with ag lending, and he spent a lot of time in the capital markets in New York and elsewhere, so bringing great fresh perspective to the team. And Darwin Melnick is our chief technical officer, been involved, again, a strong ag background from
Machinery
Canada,
Link, right?
Machinery Link, absolutely. So
yeah.
He led that, put together, put in basically not Machinery Link. He put together essentially the Kelley Blue Book of farm equipment.
Yep.
and sold that.
Yeah, yeah. It interesting stuff, and a very unique group of chief officers that you've got there, Bill, because hey, you do bring some of the you bring a wealth of experience from the traditional lenders, but it's still looking for different ways to put operating capital out there for farmers right now in a time when I feel like they really need it. But Bill, it feels a little bit like maybe this like FarmUp Capital is designed to, I don't know if I want to say replace some of the financing that is provided by the input suppliers out there, but maybe it is designed to replace it.
Yeah, I think we believe that there's a great synergistic relationship both with the input suppliers, and as we've seen and they've seen, we see kind of the separation of farm real estate from farm operators as you get more and more if the medium to larger farms are rented, over 50% of the production is rented space, so the traditional, lending on farm real estate doesn't apply to this segment. And couple that with the challenges in this, segment over the last couple of years and the decrease in working capital, has put a lot of pressure on the input suppliers who have tried to fill that gap with captive financing. And quite frankly, they're struggling with that in understanding how they fit going forward. And the traditional lenders is under the same, their underwriting is traditionally based on hard assets. And, the challenges is providing a gap. And, in fact, we're having conversations and believe there is a fit to work with both those segments to provide another source of capital that will be beneficial to all players in this marketplace.
Well, Bill, one of the things that I've noticed when farmers do start to tap into those lines of credit from input suppliers, all of a sudden they've got a loan out on their chemical, they've got a loan out on their seed, they've got a loan out here, a loan out there, and it seems like FarmUp Capital would provide the grower with an opportunity to kind of be a cash customer then with their input suppliers, right?
We think that's a huge value proposition for the customer, for the farmer, because then they're not trying to held captive from input suppliers who may be the funding source, so they're limited in terms of how they can negotiate and the flexibility they've got. We talk a lot about farmer independence, ability to effectively manage their operation. I think our objective is to provide them the flexibility to buy the the products that work best for them, and to have adequate funding to optimize their operation. And one of the I think value propositions that we're looking at is, we all know that the technology that's occurring in agriculture is continuing to be developed. There's pretty robust technology out there. And as a lending source and with our expertise in technology, we can leverage, values that they're looking at from an agronomy standpoint and translate to value from a credit standpoint. And we think that's another important part of our value proposition.
Interesting. Very interesting. Bill, tell me, I'm sure you've done some analysis on this. What does an ideal customer of Farm Op look like? Because I'm sure that somebody's sitting in the cab of their truck right now thinking to themselves, I wonder if I'm the kind of guy that they're looking to help or not. What does that ideal customer look like?
Yeah, we think that to be efficient, that we're probably looking at a farmer that's operating, 1,000, 2,000 acres and up, basically corn, soybeans, wheat, that's where we're focused right now. Many of our target customers will probably rent more land than they own. And we may, we've had interesting conversations with the kind of the generational shift that's going on or adjustment. So if you have a multi-generation farm where the younger generation is starting to take a bigger lead, we could come in and be the funding source for that younger generation and really help facilitate the transition of that operation and lend to that lender younger operator based on their ability to produce a crop and really provide independence from the parent or the other entity that's involved there. So a number of ways we can fit into supporting really what's interesting, unique, and certainly we believe that the trend will not only grow, continue, but to accelerate as we move forward.
You know, this is so interesting to me, Bill, pardon me for saying this, but it seems so obvious. Why hasn't anybody done this before?
Yeah, it's I think a couple of things. It's not traditional from an ag lending standpoint. We've had conversations, and I've been around. I've got enough gray hair to have worked through the difficulties of the 1980s, and traditional lending tends to focus on hard assets as the foundation, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, industries, not only ag industries, are looking more at what's the cash flow, the ability to generate a profit, and that's what we're focusing on. And I think we're helped by the dynamics of the growing renter operation in the field, and we're helped by technology that allows us to be involved and aware of what's happening on the farm without being invasive.
Exactly.
I think that's a real benefit.
Absolutely. Bill, thank you so much for making the time for us today, and good luck with Farm Op.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to visit.
You bet. That is Bill York, CEO of Farm Op. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in a moment.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit tryprofarmer.com today for a no-obligation 4-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's tryprofarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit tryprofarmer.com. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgro Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
I'm talking with Brad Walk of Seagull, Illinois, who tried Poncho Votivo 2.0 this growing season. Brad, is Poncho Votivo 2.0 going to be back on your farm again next year?
I plan to plant the Poncho Votivo 2.0 in 2019 because of the results from this year. Exceptional stalk health and yield. Comparing Poncho Votivo 2.0 to other varieties without it, I could see more girth in the ears. I could see kernel depth was a little better. We did have a yield trial on 8 rows, a quarter mile long, had an average of 302 bushels per acre on a independent weigh wagon, and those are dry bushels. And then we had a competitor that was 292.
Oh, okay, so you broke through 300 bushels with Poncho Votivo?
It's pretty crazy. It's just a great feeling. It's just, you've been working your whole life to try to hit that number. It's just, always kind of felt like something that may never happen, and this year it's opened up a lot of eyes.
So what about the kernel depth? That had to be the difference.
Oh, that's big. It's huge. It's the test weight really adds to the yield, and just the girth of the ear. The kernel depth is huge. So that just all adds up. You need all the help you can get to 300 bushels.
So how did Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn stand up to the weather that you had this year?
We've had several windstorms here. The stalks with Poncho Votivo 2.0 seem to be standing a lot better. In the combine, you can see down the row a good quarter mile, no stalk disintegration or cannibalism. It's just a good feeling to know that the combine is not going to have to slow down, and very hardy corn, good standability.
So how much are you going to plant next year?
Planting Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year, I've found at least a 10 bushel per acre difference. I mean, 10 bushels per acre, that's at least $35 an acre. That just carries over all the acres and really adds up. That's a huge benefit for our bottom line. Next year, I plan to plant nearly 100% of my acres in Poncho Votivo 2.0.
Get the Poncho Votivo 2.0 yield advantage for 2019. Talk to your BASF seed representative.
It's tough keeping on top of the markets from the can. We've got you covered with experts from around the country on AgriTalk After the Bell with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to ATB, everybody. You know, it's Friday. Today's the day that we would normally do the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report with Davis. But last week, Davis, I had an opportunity, or recently here, I had an opportunity to talk with Brent Smith, the VP of Marketing and Innovations at Nutrien Ag Solutions. I think he's got some insights into what's going on there at Nutrien that we need to hear about right now. Brent Smith is Vice President of Marketing and Innovation at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Brent, welcome. You've been working into that new name, right?
We sure have. Thanks, Chip. So, yeah, it's been quite the journey. You know, we became Nutrien in January, which was the merger of Agrium and Potash, two Canadian-based companies. And shortly after that, we started thinking about our retail brand and what we wanted to portray. And we decided to rebrand ourselves as Nutrien Ag Solutions, one, obviously, to tie ourselves to our global brand as Nutrien. Also create consistency across many brands around the world. We have retail locations, 1,600 of them around the world, U.S., Canada, South America, Australia, and bringing some consistency to the brand. But even more importantly than that, and what drove the decision really was around changing our business and evolving the business to the increased complexities to what our growers are facing and our customers. And so this gives us an opportunity to redefine ourselves as the ag retailer of the future. We still have the 1,600 locations. We plan on increasing that number. We still have the same great people that we've had in Crop Production Services or CPS in the U.S. And our other brands globally, and they're going to be vitally important to our success. But there's other things that we can do as an organization to evolve to the changing needs of our customer.
Yeah, and your product that you're offering out there for it for a long time, the chart went from top left to bottom right as far as the pricing on nutrients goes. We're starting to see some volatility come into that marketplace now, right?
Yeah, we certainly are. And so, you know, there's a lot of pressures facing growers. One of those is, you know, decrease, you know, crop prices staying flat, farm income decreasing. And what you're seeing with nutrients is, you know, those starting to go back up. And that sort of creates sort of a anti-intuitive issue for growers. And so one of the things we're doing as Nutrien Ag Solutions is working with growers on what a solution or an outcome should look like for them based on the constraints that they have, whether it's commodity price or it's their input pricing. And so it isn't about necessarily spending more. It's about how do you optimize the outcome for what you're putting in.
Yeah, that is so true. I talked with Davis Michelson, he does the show with me, but he's also the editor of our inputs monitor at Pro Farmer and tracks these prices very closely. But one thing that he has talked more and more about recently is how that producer is trying to become more and more efficient in their use of all the nutrients that they are putting out there in the field. What's Nutrien offering out there in that product line to help them do that?
Yeah, and you know, it's great that a grower is doing that, and you know, we're committed to that as Nutrien and certainly Nutrien Ag Solutions. So, you know, we're working with several different technologies, and it's not just NPK. Obviously, that's vitally important, but we have spent millions and millions of dollars in innovation and investing in our own innovation or in companies that have unique capabilities. A couple of things, you know, we invested in a company called Agerson. That is a biological company, and their technology is really around biostimulants and a biochemical that increases nutrient availability. We invested in another company called CH Biotech in 2014. This is more around plant physiology products and synthetic stimulants to grow a better crop. And so we're augmenting NPK with other technologies that just really are focused on getting the best return on investment and the best, healthiest crop for the most profit for
what
you can get. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, technology, digital.
Yeah.
But what are you doing on the digital platforms?
Yeah, so we started working really about a year and a half ago on what our digital platform was going to be as a company. We've obviously, as Nutrien Ag Solutions, been in precision ag, but we didn't have this integrated platform. We felt like, you know, where our place is in the value chain, and working with our customers, which is the grower, we have the broadest portfolio of services and products but we didn't have sort of the backing of the information and the digital piece. And so what our aspiration is to become the integrated digital platform. And so what is really cool, everybody's talking about digital, but for a grower, they've got to think about things very disparately. And so when they think about a seed selector, they're going to the best seed selector they can find. But then they have to go somewhere else for a nutrient advisor, and they have to go somewhere else for a crop planning tool. And what we're trying to do is create a platform where you can go with a grower and talk from the planning stage all the way through planting, all the way through the season, all the way into harvest, and then evaluating what you did and how you need to tweak it for the next year. And that's what our platform is going to do differently. And so that's certainly the aspiration. It takes a while to get there.
Right.
But we kicked off and launched our digital in July of this year. And we've got about 30% of our business in the U.S. already linked and signed up on our digital platform, which is a good start and very encouraging.
Very cool. Very cool. Thank you so much, Brent.
Yeah, glad to be here, Chip.
All right. That is Brent Smith, Vice President, Marketing and Innovation at Nutrient Ag Solutions. You know, Davis, that digital platform that he's talking about there, I think it's not only a goal of Nutrient Ag Solutions. That digital platform is kind of a goal of everybody out there right now, isn't it?
Well, I think so. And what I love about their focus is they're trying to, he brought up steady corn prices amid farming fertilizer prices. And you just got to tighten up your marketing. You got to tighten up everything that you do around your operation from planting through planting, harvest, and then go back and evaluate and then start planning again for the next year. It's a very intentional approach. I am so behind what he's talking about there.
You know, I like the way that you describe it, too. It's such an intentional approach. When we talk about the inputs and the advice that you give through the inputs monitor at Pro Farmer, that is exactly the way to describe it, isn't it? You've got to be intentional in covering your inputs.
You really do, and especially now.
You can't just let it happen.
You can't let it happen. And right. Relying on the cash market as far as selling on the back end, just... I really don't feel like without a significant bump here in, you know, name the commodity, we're not really going to be able to rely on that to really, really sink our teeth into maximizing the profit potential and all of this. And it's great to hear a fertilizer manufacturer like that talking that way.
Good stuff, buddy. Have a good weekend, man.
Hey, you too, pal.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday with more ATB.
It's time to get dirt rich with new Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn seed treatment. The increase in microbial activity in the soil helps get more nutrients to the plant, and you get an average 3.8 bushel per acre yield increase over the original Poncho Votivo, all with the trusted insect and nematode protection you're used to. So be dirt rich, because that's smart. Ask your seed dealer for the new Poncho Votivo 2.0 today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Commodity Classic is the place to boost your bottom line.
We're all in business to make money, you know, and you want to succeed at your job. You come here, you're able to take this information and become more profitable from seed to fertilizer to equipment, everything.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused educational and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.